This episode is brought to you by Jacobson Salt Company, America's leading salt maker. Learn more at jacobsonsalt.com. That's jacobsensalt.com.
Welcome to Life's a Banquet, a show about everything edible, spreadable, and pourable with me, your host, the baby from Adam's Family Values,
and me, Angelica Houston. That was too hard.
I know, I really took the, like,
I was trying to come up with Raul Julia's name, and I couldn't come up with it on the fly. R.I.P.
Do you know that Raul Julia lost, much like the pugs that we had been talking about in a couple episodes ago, Raul Julia also lost an eyeball at one point.
No, I did not.
I think on the Maury Povich show.
What?
Yeah. Something happened where his eyeball fell out on television.
That's not right.
Because he had that condition, the same thing that pugs have, where their, like, eyes are, like, popping out of their head. He didn't eat his eye, as far as I know.
That's not true.
It is. It's a, look it up right
I'm
now.
Looking at it.
Nicole and I are actually sitting in front of each other right now, and it feels a little bit, like, a little weird, because I'm so used to doing this over the computer that I'm, like, shocked that you're sitting right in front of me.
I know. That's why we can't stop laughing.
Shocked, but also amazed and horny. So folks, we have some bad news for you. Heritage Radio has canceled our show for being too stupid. Just kidding. We are not doing a new episode this week because we're having summer fun, but, we are going to rebroadcast one of our very favorite episodes from yesteryear about period blood.
Yes. The classic episode. What basically what we are famously known for, I think, is that episode.
Yeah. Who else is going to bring you a food show on a food radio network all about period blood and somehow how you can manage to eat it?
Yes, and use it to cast spells on people, right?
Yeah, there was some spell casting.
Mm-hmm. That one's a really good one. Because
it is a good one.
Yeah. I hope that it's good. Let us know if you guys hate it.
I don't remember what you were talking about. So one of my other favorite episodes, obviously, is our Kevin Costner episode. That might be my number one favorite of all time.
That one is a great one.
It really is a classic. And so last night, this is a great segue to just talk about Kevin Costner. I tried to start watching like his last movie, like Let Him Go or Let Him
With,
In.
What's her name?
Diane Lane.
Yeah, who's a babe.
Who is a babe. But I found it to be too boring.
It's boring?
A lot of people say it's very dark.
Boring is better than what it could be, which is, like, cheesy, terrible.
Well, I had just come from a very boring movie. I had watched, unfortunately, A River Runs Through It, which, no offense, Robert Redford, but is, like, maybe one of the most boring movies of all time. There's no point until the very end when they're like, Brad Pitt dies in the last, like, 3 minutes of the movie.
Spoiler alert.
And you don't even see him die. They're like, Robert Redford's narrating, and he's like, and I found out that my brother's skull was crushed in with the butt of a handgun.
In the war, right?
No, by some people he owed money to because he was addicted to gambling.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. It's bad.
Yeah, but I think it's a true story.
Well, that's fair, but I think a Monsieur Redford could have done a little bit of a better job making it a compelling film to watch. It was very boring. Fly fishing, spoiler alert, is not maybe the most exciting topic for a film that's 4 hours long.
Okay, so I have an update on this eyeball thing.
Okay, please.
It turns out it's true. Angelica Houston turned actor Raul Julia's frightening medical issue into a laughing matter after her Adam's Family co-star's eyeball suddenly fell out of his head. Raul had a funny thing happen to him, she told the U.S. chat show The Talk. He was sitting in a bar late one night with, I believe, Robert Palmer after work.
Robert Palmer?
Yeah.
The musician?
Yes.
The guy addicted to love?
Yes.
Isn't Robert Plant? No, he's from Led Zeppelin.
Yes. Okay. Get it together.
Sorry.
So he's sitting with Robert Palmer after work and rubbed his eye and his eyeball fell out. I'm telling you, I think he had a thyroid condition or something. His actual eyeball. Angelica added that Raul was able to set the next... He came to set the next day despite his shocking injury, saying that the eye was so red and bloodshot you would not believe it. But Angelica decided to keep morale high by pulling a prank on her beloved co-star.
A prank!
As soon as I got back to my trailer, I called up the nearest joke shop on Hollywood Boulevard and said, do you have fake dangling eyeballs? So I bought out the shop, so the next day everyone on set had these fake eyeballs hanging out of their head. And in the final sentence of this, Raul passed away in 1994 due to complications from stroke.
Due to his gaping eyeball hole.
Great Great.
Wow. See, you didn't believe me, but it's true. He didn't eat the eyeball.
No, he was not on the Maury Povich show either.
That's true. I think he was talking about it on the Maury Povich show, okay, which is what confused me. I really hope we're recording this. We are. Yeah. We are recording here. I would have been very disappointed if we had a fake conversation.
As I read aloud from an article. Yeah. So, okay, folks, you heard it here first.
Wow, how interesting.
Raul Julia is dead.
This just in from the wires of the Associated Press. Raul Julia dies today, 1994. Wow, RIP. What a guy. I was watching.
Cut down in his prime.
You called me the other day. Yes. Gone too soon.
He was gone too soon.
I know, and it's not funny. You called me the other day, and I was having a bad day. A no good, very bad day, mm-hmm, some might say. And you're like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm laying in the dark. It's like 5 p.m. I'm laying in the dark watching Adam's Family Values. What I didn't tell you, it was for the second time in a row.
And then I said that we can reenact that movie scene for scene.
I love that movie. I recently just finished listening to Barry Sonnenfeld, mm-hmm, the director of that film and many others of your favorite film, including Men in Black and Men in Black 2, and unfortunately, Men in Black 3.
Oh, no.
Anyway, Barry Sonnenfeld, who knew the beloved director of Adam's Family would have such a history?
Men in Black 3, the one where, like, Josh Brolin plays a young Tommy Lee Jones because Tommy Lee Jones isn't in that movie?
Yeah, they edged him out, TLJ. Yeah. I don't know why.
Well, he probably didn't want to be in that movie. He's kind of a turd.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I've actually heard the same, that he's rude.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's been very fun having you in town. We did a lot of very cute things.
Yes, we did.
We dined.
Went to Bar Meridian. I've been wanting to try it. Check it out.
Yeah, it was cool. It was fun. We went to see Kelly over there, and then we went to Roman's, which was, mm-hmm, super fun.
Very fun.
What up to Betty and Tom and Mike Sala, yes, our friend of the show,
friend
Mike Sala.
Mike Sala. We saw him in the flesh.
I know. We saw tons of his flesh.
All of his flesh. Yeah.
Well, I mean, not all of his flesh.
He wasn't nude at Roman's on a Friday night.
We just saw the flesh that was sticking out from his clothing, but that flesh was very nice. Mike, congratulations on your top-notch flesh. All right, well, this is fun. It's fun to see you. You're about to drive back to Indiana.
I'm about to hit the road at the end of this recording.
Yeah. I'm going to stay right here inside my house for day two of Hurricane Henry.
Henri, I think it is.
Oh, it's on. I'm sorry. It's excuse. I didn't realize it was Francais. Well, je ne comprends pas.
So then I feel like that's what
that's true.
It's Henri.
It is Henri. It's Henri. It's on me. Okay, enjoy this episode all about period blood. If you're eating a sloppy Joe, this is a great time to put it right down and just
wipe your mouth off and stare straight ahead.
Okay. Hasta la vista.
Bye.
Dear God, I don't know how to start the show. Let's start with a cough.
I'm like coffee, inform me.
Welcome to Life's a Banquet.
You did that when you had a cold.
Welcome to Life's a Banquet, a show about respiratory ailments. Today on the show, the coronavirus. Just kidding. That's maybe off limits. Blow the bell.
Too soon.
Okay, too soon. Welcome to Life's a Banquet, a podcast. And that's it. You like it or you don't. We don't really care.
A podcast.
Welcome to Life's a Banquet. It's a podcast about the highs and lows of all things edible, spreadable, and pourable with your host, Zara Tangora.
And Nicole Bailey.
Nicole.
What?
Hello, you look beautiful. You are just an old kitty cat. you little so-and-so. How was your week?
It's Wednesday, so it's just...
Last week.
Oh, 7 days
ago. Seven
from
American days ago.
Today. I don't know. I can't remember.
Perfect.
It was really busy. I was really busy.
Well, that's good. It was my birthday.
Oh, yeah. That
this
happened.
This past weekend. Mm-hmm. And we had a really nice time.
We partied.
We did. We partied hard. We danced, mm-hmm, to Rhythm Nation.
And I danced to Whitney Houston. I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Oh, that's true. Did you dance with somebody? Who'd you dance with?
With our friend Jenny.
Oh, my God. Isn't Jenny just... When she really, our friend Jenny used to be the chef de cuisine at Brucey. She's like a member of our family. She's amazing. A Jersey girl. And I wouldn't say buttoned up, but she just holds it together most of the time. She's very composed. But when she gets silly, she gets real silly.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a major dance party and it was really fun. We went to eat pizza at Lucali. Mm-hmm. We drank wine. We had chicken liver pate. It was great. I had a really nice time. And then the next day I went to the Met.
I have to cough again off camera.
God damn it. This is off to a terrible start.
What do you want me to do?
I don't know. Nothing, I guess. But it was really nice. And then on my birthday, I went and ate dinner at Frankie's, and they really styled us out. Lots of loads of balls, sauces, cured meats, champagne flowing like wine. It was great. It was nice. It was a nice birthday, and thank you very much to everybody.
Wait, when did you go to Frankie's? You went to Sunday. Like 1,000 restaurants for your birthday.
I went to Le Crocodile on Friday with my mom. I got a new tattoo at Smith Street.
Mm-hmm.
Tattoo by Frank. He is great and easy on the eyes. And
okay.
And the nose.
No last name.
Just Frank. Anyway, no, but in all seriousness, he's a great tattoo artist, and I love my new tattoo. And then I went to Lugali on Saturday with y'all, and then on my birthday, I went to Frankie's.
You did something else with your cousins, though.
Frankie's.
Oh.
Yeah.
But you had your cousins over the week before.
Yes. My cousins are just in and out of my life. Against my will.
I thought you had your cousins and then Steven and...
Ryan Crossman.
Over for your birthday.
No, that was just like maintenance. That was routine friendship. Like, come on over for some sauce slinging.
Great.
Anyway,
this is boring.
I'm about to fall asleep. In fact, I see people leaving Roberta's just knowing what we're talking about. They can't even hear us. They're just like, these bitches look bored. Okay. Our topic this week is periods.
Mm-hmm.
And not the ends of a sentence, but the blood that comes out of one's vagina once a month.
Wow.
So if you're eating a sloppy joe, put it down right now.
Or a spaghetti and meatball.
Periods.
All those people that tune in right at their dinner time for this.
They're just drinking a beet smoothie and they're like, oh, why? Just throw it out the window. It's a cyclist, like an anchorman.
That's strawberry yogurt.
Ew. A glad piece of blood pudding. So what about periods? Periods make you hungry.
I have a period. I'm on my period.
Me too. It's I'm in my period.
Coincidentally.
We both forced ourselves to get our periods for this show.
We did like the equivalent to a rain dance, but for periods.
A blood rain dance.
That was not a Native American appropriation.
No.
It was
no.
Something we made up.
Yes, of course. And neither of us are wearing any protection or pants.
Free bleeding, it's called. It's a free bleed in this. What is this? Not an office. Studio.
Amanda, our engineer, is shaking her head. Presumably because she's also free bleeding.
Yeah, she supports. She's the one who told us to do it.
She brought it up.
Everyone at HRN is apparently a nudist.
No pants.
I'm wearing tops so the people out eating their meal don't know.
They can't see our waists. Down.
Okay, so periods.
They're gross.
Do they exist?
Who knows?
Nobody knows. Science is out.
Yeah.
Of the picture. Okay, so along with periods, I decided to focus on, since Zara took periods regular, I decided to focus on premenstrual syndrome.
Ooh.
A figment of our imaginations.
Really?
Which is what I learned in my research.
I bet is your research written by a male?
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect. I only consult male writers and scientists and doctors.
Of course.
Sorry, I can't stop clearing my throat. Get used to it. I want to start my little section with my favorite quote about premenstrual syndrome, which comes from Truvy, played by Dolly Parton in the movie Steel Magnolias.
Amazing.
To give this a little context, Shelby, who is played by Julia Roberts, suggests that, who dies, spoiler alert.
Yes, she's fully dead.
She suggests that they get a radio in the beauty salon. And Truby says, I'm not going to do this in an accent because that would be embarrassing. So she was like, Truby, get a dang radio. And she's like, I had one once, but I threw it against the wall when I couldn't figure out where the batteries went. I now know I was suffering from premenstrual syndrome.
You kind of did an accent.
A little bit. Yeah. You really should just see Dolly Parton deliver it, though, because the line is flat on the page, but she really gives it her all. God bless Dolly.
God bless her.
Okay, so premenstrual syndrome. 80% of women report it, that they have it. Oh they report God. It to the police.
Excuse me, 911. I am angry. I'm throwing
irritable
things.
Irritable and crampy.
Farting.
Boobs hurt. Yeah, which I was actually surprised. Considering the fact that it's, according to science, a figment of our imagination, that 80% of women have this group hallucination. In the olden times, and I hope I don't tread too much on your research.
That's fine.
But I didn't dig too deep because who has the time? But in the olden times, which is an official period of time.
Yeah, the olden times from like the year one through the year 1980.
It was literally considered to be a figment of your imagination, but it was also, they thought that women's reproductive organs had complete control over them. And so they were encouraged to save all of their energy for their reproductive organs. They were like, whoa, just lay on this fainting couch. Don't move around too much.
Fainting couch?
You know, it's the olden times.
Yeah.
And just, you know, lay still so that your ovaries can do their thing.
For sure.
But it occurred to me on the way here that they didn't make their servants do that. But
whatever. Oh, very interesting. They didn't care about their servants' fallopian tubes.
Which is a shock.
Yeah.
They didn't do any research into premenstrual syndrome until the 50s.
Yeah. That's a big span of time.
And it wasn't considered a social problem until the 80s, which is when Steel Magnolias came out. So
right,
people were like, finally, we can joke about this. It's real.
Women are like going to work and all of a sudden they need to be taken somewhat seriously. Just a little bit.
Yeah. And I found this in Wikipedia, is that there are still like people that are like social scientists that believe that it's a figment of your imagination and that your condition, Western women are conditioned to have premenstrual syndrome because they hear about it from a young age and then the symptoms produce themselves based on their conditioning.
Mm.
And to that I say, I don't think my cramps are fake.
No, or they're complete like rage.
Yeah, I get irritable.
Me too.
But that could be anything. I live in New York City. Yeah. But the cramping, I wish that it was conditioned, but it's not.
Totally. I also always, the day before I get my period, get this weird headache that's just like right in my like eye and nose. It's a very specific headache. I only get it like the night before I get my period. And I get like so weepy. Now, I am a weepy person. I'm very emotional, but like uncontrollable weeping and sobbing. You saw on Saturday night when Becky and Danny gave me that memory book for my birthday.
Yes.
I was full sobbing. Now, it was very touching, but I think I was also PMSing.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I was like dry heaving,
it
crying.
It was touching. It was dry heaving, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But your skirt was really tight, so maybe that's right.
Bitch.
I have PMS right now.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
Okay. So what does this have to do with food, you guys might want to know? Nothing. So it may surprise you to know, considering how much research people have devoted to this issue, that there have been no scientific studies about food cravings in PMS.
None? Perfect.
Great. There are a lot of not-so-scientific advice articles telling women what they should and should not eat during their period. The general thread is you should cut out sugar, dairy, refined oils, gluten, processed foods, caffeine, alcohol, and never leave the house and just focus all your energy
on your ovaries. Concentrate.
But there is some science. Basically, there is a theory that seems to be true, at least I believe that it's true, that your diet actually does impact your symptoms, and that like the symptoms in PMS could actually be the reaction to like deficiencies in certain vitamins and whatnot. And so I'm here to talk about some actual scientific studies that seem to prove this theory. And then basically I'm going to tell you what to eat to prevent PMS.
Thank the Lord.
But let's start off with the good news. Smoking and drinking actually don't, according to science, impact your premenstrual syndrome symptoms.
Hallelujah.
You're neither more or less likely to have them if you drink or smoke.
Okay, great.
However, smoking does reduce your vitamin D levels, and low vitamin D is associated with higher incidences of premenstrual syndrome. So, drink all you want, but be careful about the cigs.
Interesting. I've been smoking a lot lately, and I'm PMS'd hard. I wonder if that's a correlation.
Could be.
Who knows?
This is news to me. There is actually one supplement that has pretty good results in a trial. It's a randomized trial of 170 women, so it's not a huge study, but they showed a 50% reduction in mood symptoms, so like irritability, mood swings, depression, compared to the placebo of chasteberry, which I had never heard of, but it's a Got a joke there?
Well, yeah, I was just picturing a bear being chased around.
No, chased as in like you're not going to have sex, like a chastity.
Oh, got it.
But it's a bear that grows on a tree, and you can buy supplements. And this study was done with supplements, and basically 50% reduction in mood symptoms compared to the placebo is good enough for me. I'm going to try this.
Hell yeah.
The science behind it is that it's supposedly the luteal phase is when you are like your hormone, your estrogen is low. And that's when your symptoms, your like the chemical brain symptoms seem to kick in.
Oh, wow.
So supposedly this somehow impacts that.
That's amazing.
In a positive way. The other one, which I knew about, sorry.
Good God.
I have allergies. There's nothing I can do.
You have a horse in your throat.
They calcium and vitamin D, low amounts of those have been linked to premenstrual syndrome, like worsening. There are some scientific studies that show that if you increase your intake of these, that you actually will reduce your symptoms significantly. However, you can't use supplements. These studies showed that eating, like getting calcium and vitamin D from foods helped, but right. taking supplements did not help at all.
Like chugging a gallon of milk is good.
Sure, there are other ways to get calcium.
Right. Prove it.
The other thing that's important to remember is that calcium and vitamin D are linked in how they are absorbed. So you need one or the other around to fully absorb.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating. I had no idea.
The same goes with B vitamins. You need to have all those going strong in order to kind of alleviate your symptoms or have lesser symptoms, and you have to eat them in food. You can't get them from pills. And actually, one study showed that people that supplemented with B vitamin pills had worse PMS symptoms.
What kind of foods do you get B vitamins from?
I'll tell you.
Oh.
but, yeah, so there are two supplements you can take, though, to up your other levels. They are iron and magnesium.
Well, of course, the iron with the bloodletting and...
Well, yeah, but you're not... The PMS part is before...
Right, but maybe your body is, like, preparing to lose all the iron, so it's like, give me more iron, and everything will be okay. Just stay in here.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, could you listen to Iron Maiden? Would that help?
No, you have... Well, you can take a pill. You can take an iron pill.
Okay.
So, basically, I was a little bit upset by this information because I have recently... Not recently, but basically... thought that vitamins are unnecessary.
Yeah.
That taking vitamins are a scam, and you don't absorb them properly, and they hurt your stomach for a reason, and it's just not... It's not... A waste of money, and a waste of time. But apparently not. Apparently I need to be taking iron and magnesium pills.
I know. I feel very torn about the science about vitamins, too. I just listened to that... there was an episode of The Dream talking about vitamins being a total hoax. And I've read a lot of other studies talking about vitamins being, you know, a huge scam as a market in general.
Yeah,
and
I haven't taken vitamins in many years.
I take some vitamins and some supplements. I don't know. I find, like, oregano oil if I feel like I'm getting sick happens to really work. I'm not sure if that qualifies as a vitamin. And I rely pretty heavily on wellness formula. But, you know, you never know. It could be the placebo effect. It could be just, like... I have really no idea.
What's wellness formula?
Wellness formula is like a multivitamin that you take like a ton of when you either are sick or feel a cold coming on. Mm. And it, in my experience, has always been very, very helpful. But again, I don't know why. Like I'm kind of just like a lemming.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I haven't taken vitamins in years and I haven't been sick.
What is a lemming?
A fish?
It's like a little creature, but I'm not sure if I know what it looks like. I'm picturing a chipmunk.
I don't know. I'm picturing a ferret.
Oh, that makes more sense. Like a long. Yeah, because long lemming. If anyone out there has a pet lemming, please call into the show.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, the moral of my story is that we have to eat healthy in a wide variety of foods.
Right.
And fibers.
Yeah, fiber is the key, really.
And irritatingly, a good source of B vitamins is cereal. Like, because a lot of cereal is fortified with extra B vitamins.
Really? Cereal mm-hmm. is one of those things. I think I share this with a lot of other people, particularly women, that it is my one vice. Like, I cannot have cereal in my house because I will just, and I'm not someone who usually has a problem with portion control per se, but I will binge cereal. If I get a box of cereal, I'll eat the whole box.
It doesn't fill you up.
And it's so satisfying. That crunch with the milk. It's
I used to get that blueberry morning cereal, which is like dried blueberries. And freaking granola chunks or something. I would eat the whole box in like 2 seconds.
Dude, I will eat any cereal. Honestly,
inappropriate.
Any cereal, even if it's one that I don't like. It's something about the cold milk with the crunchy, like dry, whatever the fuck is
in
there.
Very, yeah. So, you know, I guess.
The moral of the story is just eat more cereal.
I'm not going to. I have to eat oatmeal or something.
I just think, like, when I'm PMSing or I'm a period, there are certain times where I just really allow myself to, like, treat. I'm like, I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm going to eat some chocolate or I'm going to have, like, a big chunk of bread. Like, I feel like most of the time I try to, you know, stay healthy. And but, you know, in everything in moderation.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's, like, really fine if you need to just, like, munch.
Yeah. I get very hungry around my premenstrual time. Like,
me too.
I get, like, insatiably hungry.
Me too. Samesies. Well, your body's about to work really fucking hard.
Yeah.
And it is working hard already.
And I just don't, if I had a box of cereal in there, I would be, it would, it wouldn't stand a chance.
I say get 2 boxes of cereals, sit on your fainting couch, concentrate on your ovaries, and, you know, go to town. Have fun.
Thank you.
Treat yourself.
I will.
Okay, cool. Shall we take a tiny break, or some may say, put a period on this sentence?
No one says that. Do they?
In podcasting, people tend to
I've never
say.
Listened to a podcast before.
It's very popular in podcasting. Okay, we'll be right back after these messages.
This episode is brought to you by Jacobson Salt Company. Jacobson's flake and kosher sea salts have garnered worldwide favor for their beautiful presentation and pure taste. In addition to an extensive assortment of pure sea salts and infused sea salts, Jacobson Salt Company also produces a line of salty confections, honey, cocktail salts, seasonings, gift sets, and other pantry staples. Harvested from the cold, pristine waters of Neatarts Bay on the Oregon coast, Jacobson Salt Company is a favorite amongst professionals and home cooks alike. Founded in 2011, Jacobson Salt Company's mission is grounded in craftsmanship and community, maintaining the vision of providing the very best cooking ingredients, from hand-harvested sea salt to single-origin honey. More information on Jacobson Salt Company and their extensive line of products can be found at jacobsonsalt.com.
Back.
What?
Surprise! Surprise! The podcast is still going.
Ah, it's fine. I'm free bleeding all over this place.
This studio is covered in period blood.
I'm worried that we're going to drown soon. Like, it's starting to get a little closer to our shoulders, and I'm nervous.
Good thing we've each spent so much time researching Kevin Costner, and we know now how to breathe out of the gills that are put into our sides of our neck.
Oh.
Okay, I'm going to start my story with a joke. Are you ready? It's hilarious.
I'm ready.
Hold on to your butt.
Okay.
How do you embarrass an archaeologist?
I don't know.
You give him a tampon and ask him what period it's from.
That would embarrass him or her?
Well, I guess it's supposed to be a him because only a him would be embarrassed by seeing a used tampon.
This joke is sexist.
Well, I did not write it. Just kidding, I did. I'm a ghostwriter of internet jokes. 30% of all the jokes you see on the internet.
What period is this from?
I don't know. Your own period, you freak.
The Paleolithic period. That's the only period that I know.
Just a petrified.
The Pleistocene era? Is that a fake one? I don't know.
I don't know anything about archaeology, and I'm starting to sweat and get itchy and nervous.
My public school education was very bad, and I was regretting that recently.
We didn't really talk about periods or dinosaurs at all. In fact, I feel like all I did was smoke pot, so I don't know what we were talking about.
I didn't even do pot. I was trying to pay attention, and they weren't teaching me anything.
Maybe you were, like, at the mall by accident instead of at school.
I guess it's possible.
You got dropped off in the wrong place. Okay, so I got a lot of information from the stayathomemum.com.
British?
Yeah. Aeon, AEON.com, and Eater.com in an article by Greg Morbodo. So, all kinds of taboos and myths are surround menstruation. Menstruation?
Menstruation.
Menstruation. Menstruation. Put down your sloppy Joe. I told you already once. The ancient Greeks believed that if a girl's period was late, blood would accumulate around her heart and her uterus would wander around her body.
Yes.
Like a lost soul. Like a lost ship in the night. Hello, I'm sorry, I'm looking for Nicole. I'm your uterus.
Even, I mean, how did they even know where it was? They didn't have x-rays or anything.
I have no idea. But
I guess they know where babies come out of.
No one knew where it was. It was wandering around the body, lost, like a little child in the woods. They said that this could produce erratic behavior from violent swearing to suicidal depression.
Swearing in Greek? I didn't even know it was possible.
No. Or maybe it was just that, like, this woman had 11 children and was, like, trying to do all the sweeping in the cave,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, and the men are, like, in togas, yeah, just, like, laying around, solving each other's the dicks. World's problems, having eating, sex with their mentors,
eating
mentees.
Feta cheese by the fistful, shoving their faces full of grape leaves while their wives' uteruses just roam around like bison on the range. Okay, until the 20th century, any inappropriate behavior or poor mental health in a woman was termed hysteria after the Greek word for uterus. Pliny the Elder, ever heard of him?
Yes.
He was an elder from back in the day, in the olden days.
The olden days.
He was from the olden days. He died in 79 BC. He warned, if a woman strips herself naked while she is menstruating and walks around a field of wheat, the caterpillars, worms, beetles, and other vermin will fall from the ears of corn. Bees will forsake their hives if touched by a menstruating woman. Linen boiling in a cauldron will turn black, and the edge of a razor will become blunted.
They had razors back then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was full of razors and dead bees.
BC. What was his evidence for this?
I don't know.
She's going to touch a bee. Touch a bee.
First of all, and who's then, trying to touch a bee?
And then it's going to sacrifice it to be like... You know what, guys? I can't be with you anymore. I need to be with this naked lady menstruating in a field of wheat.
First of all, if a bee stings you, it dies. So
no, right, she's just touching it.
Right, but it's, if she's touching it, she's probably touching the stinger. You don't just, like, pet it on the forehead.
Well, you can pet. Some of them are... I mean, who knows what bees were like in 79 BC? Maybe they're big.
They were much friendlier. They were giant, like in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. You could just ride them from place to place.
Yeah.
Okay, so in medieval times, it was believed that if a man's penis touched menstrual blood, it would burn up. Which I love.
That's true, though.
It still holds true.
I will catch on fire. Okay, first of all, there's no way that no man's penis touched blood. Like, it happens by accident.
Of course. So, I mean, it's still true, though.
Somebody should have been like, listen, we accidentally did it. My dick's still here. I think it's fine.
It's okay. Oh, man. I mean, it's crazy. and any child conceived during menstruation would be possessed by the devil, deformed, or red-haired, which are essentially all the same thing.
That's where gingers come from?
Yes, period sex.
Are we allowed to say ginger, or is it now considered inappropriate?
I think it's fine.
Okay.
Red-haired people, you're the butt of the joke from the day one till, from the olden days till the present days.
You hear that, Prince Harry?
Take that. Take that, problem child. A woman with a heavy menstrual flow was advised to bind the hair from an animal's head onto a young tree, and if this failed, she could drink nettle tea while reciting a numerical formula, or she could find a toad, burn it dry, and put the ashes in a pouch around her waist.
Okay. First of all, doing all of this while you have a heavy flow is really annoying.
And dangerous, because you didn't even have, like, pads or tampons or anything. You just had, like, an old rag, and now it's full of, like, burnt toad ashes. That
no,
sounds
she,
like her
no,
worst
she's
nightmare.
She's hanging on her neck, not her...
Her waist.
Oh, hanging around her waist.
I assume waist means, I don't know, right
but
in
so
there.
So she's taking animal hair and tying it around a young tree?
I know. I was like, I thought they meant to tie it into her own hair, but...
I'll do the mathematical formula, nettle tea one. Nettle tea people still are down with.
Absolutely. I love nettle tea. And jumping up a long way, in 1878, letters to British Medical Journal, my favorite, medical journals, as we learned last week, claim that menstruating women could cause bacon to putrefy.
Bacon specifically?
Specifically bacon. And then in 1916, the medical registrar Sir Raymond Crawford wrote that the farmers still believed that, this is in 1916, that menstruating women could prevent milk from turning to butter or hams from curing. This is all to say that people have assumed that women are witches from forever because they're bleeding and because they just think it's gross and they can't understand it, so you must be a witch, and, like, a witch can do anything terrible.
It's crazy, though, because obviously bleeding means that you can have a child, which men are like into
kind of for the
you know, continuation of the species. Sure. And so for them to be like, yes, please bear my child, don't get near the ham. Yeah. It's like so stupid. Like,
don't go near ham. Do not burn off my penis. Do not look me straight in the face.
Drink your nettle tea and recite mathematical equations on your fainting couch or else.
Here's a sleeve of Oreos. Go lay on the fainting couch. As recently as 1980, a farmer's wife in Shropshire, I guess that is in England, said that a menstruating woman touched meat, it would go rancid. When asked about it, he said, have you ever seen a female butcher?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, I guess not in 1980. Ridiculous. So that
Julia and Julia lady became a butcher maybe in the 80s.
I mean, women have been cooking. This is like some of the most insane shit I've ever heard, but it's just a proof of how people have hated women, and, you know, women sometimes hate other women.
Yeah, it's also like, that's not a very good argument, though. Have you ever seen a female butcher?
It's the most ridiculous
theory.
Even so, what if you're not a butcher? Women have cooked forever. It's just an excuse to hate women and to think you're better than women because women bleed and that makes them weak and disgusting.
Yeah.
And it's true. No, just kidding. And I agree.
He's like, never trust anything that bleeds for 7 days and doesn't die.
I mean, I think, you know what, to be completely honest, it's probably threatening to see how strong it is that people can bleed for 7 days and not die and
lots
do it again next month.
Lots of people can bleed for 7 days and not die, though. Lots of small wounds can bleed for that long.
That's true. I have seen the movie Braveheart.
Think about Jesus Christ. He did fine. Well, he eventually died.
Maybe it was just his period.
He came back from the dead, though. He's chill.
That, you heard it here, folks. First here, folks. Jesus Christ is chill. Okay. So something I wanted to talk about that relates to food is the witchcraft kind of practices surrounding eating menstrual blood.
Yay.
Now, I researched a lot about doing different things with menstrual blood, like casting spells, keeping it around your house, drying it up, like, you know, sprinkling it on people that you want to, you know, follow some kind of thing that you're wishing about. I guess that's called a spell. So from the stay-at-home mom, some cultures, I did not get anything from Eater. That's for something else. There's nothing about Eater.
I was intrigued as to what would happen, but I guess.
Stay tuned to our next episode for that.
But also, don't they do that in Midsommar?
I didn't see Midsommar.
Oh, well.
Is that what they do?
I don't know. It's something that I've heard about before, and I feel like I've seen it in a movie, but I don't remember what movie it is.
Yeah, I don't remember either. Practical Magic.
No.
I love that movie.
Me too.
Okay, so some cultures, such as the African-American hoodoo culture and the Sicilian folklore magic culture, it is believed that serving menstrual blood to a man can capture his sexual attention. You don't need any spells to go along with it. Supposedly, the woman's scent is added to the man's consciousness, and he'll either become obsessed with her, commit to her, and never stray, depending on the owner of the period blood. Depending on what the owner of the period blood is trying to achieve.
Hmm. It says sexual interest, but it seems like it's more than that.
It seems like it's, you know, about your man not straying away and becoming obsessed with you. Now, I have to be honest. I'm intrigued by this in a real way.
Okay.
Not saying I do it. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. Not saying I haven't done it. Just kidding. I haven't done it. What do you think?
Well, I think that you should be careful what you wish for, because that they do that in a different way in Practical Magic. And
that's true.
In the book, she is so miserable because he's obsessed with her and he won't let her out of his sight.
That's true.
And he won't stop having sex with her.
Yeah, that is true. That movie is actually so amazing.
Yeah, but I don't think that part is in the movie, though.
No, but the guy who comes back and won't leave her alone.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's like, dude.
Yeah, please, get out of here. Get out of my face. Men in these cultures are often warned not to accept brown or red drinks or foods with brown or red sauces.
What about tea?
From unmarried... No, tea is off the table and out of the cup. Brown or red sauces from unmarried women because some menses related witchcraft may be afoot.
So unmarried women, highly dangerous creatures. Yeah. Don't even go near them. Don't let them touch meat. Yeah, don't let them touch bees.
Don't let them touch anything. We're the two most kind of dangerous people, the two of us.
Yeah.
We have our periods. We're unmarried.
And I'm touching meat right now.
I'm holding a hamburger, a raw hamburger meat in this hand.
I'm holding a handful of bees.
They're all dead.
They've forsaken their hive and they'll follow me everywhere I go.
I'm snorting a line of dried toad. Mm. Okay, so Strega means witch in Italian. And Strega practitioners in Sicilian culture believe that simply serving menstrual blood to a man in his coffee or tea is a sovereign recipe for capturing his sexual attention forever. I think it's pretty amazing. And then in 2009, a maid in Hong Kong was charged for adding her own menstrual blood to her boss's soup in order to improve their working relationship.
How did they find out that she did that?
I don't know. I guess she admitted it. Maybe she just, like, came clean about it. No pun intended.
She's like, I feel bad. I've never told you that I put my period in that tomato soup.
I rang my tampon out in your latte.
It's your fault for accepting brown or red foods from an unmarried woman.
You should have known better. But I think it's interesting. I think witchcraft is interesting. I think it's disgusting. But then, to be completely honest, if, like, you're talking about, like, some women doing this to, like, a husband or someone they've been with for a long time, you share a lot of fluids anyway. I don't think it's, like, the most disgusting thing ever. It's not going to make you sick, like, putting your poop in something.
Plenty of people have eaten period blood. If you get my drift.
I do get your drift.
It is interesting, though. The thing that I think is, I think that women are witches, though, because when I found out that if you spend enough time outdoors that your period will sync up with the cycle of the moon, I was like, oh, yeah, crazy. All that pagan stuff is right. We're just witches.
Yeah, agreed. And if I, you know,
fine with me.
I don't know this for a fact, but I'm inclined to believe this. Like, I'm inclined to believe a little bit of this. And I'm also inclined to believe that if you're just, like, a crazed psycho and you're just, you know, squeezing out your pad into some crush's, you know, Long Island iced tea, then you might have a problem internally, externally. Your relationship might not work out.
You're not well.
No.
But I think that, but that's the thing is, as I've mentioned, plenty of people have eaten period blood and it didn't seem to impact the relationship one way or the other.
That's very true. That's a very interesting point. I wonder if you need to have it snuck to you, though.
Interesting. Or the intention is what gives it the power?
Yeah, the sneakiness, because then you're like, why? Why do I all of a sudden love her? You know what I mean? Like, men need to come to situations on their own. Also, I feel like the man-woman thing about this, obviously, a woman can give another woman her period blood and fall in love. Gender non-binary person.
Yeah, gender normative. It has. Heteronormative,
it has. So we include period blood being appealing to all genders and sexes. But, yeah. You know, this is just what the internet had to say, and this was written 300 years ago. Anyway, I'm into it.
I don't know.
Send us your period blood eating stories. Have you eaten your own period blood?
Probably by accident. Microscopic particles.
I'm on a new diet, which is all period blood and nothing else. Okay, on that note, what are your top three foods that you would eat period blood in?
I think that anything that is just, like, easily mixed in. I love the idea of putting it in coffee where you can't taste it. Mm-hmm. So any brown or red foods mm-hmm. are fine with me. A soup sounds great. A nice stew.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a small amount in my mind. So
yeah.
Just like a little drop. It could literally be anything. I don't care.
Right. Okay. Pizza. We're right here at Roberta's. Maybe we should put a note in the suggestion box.
Good idea.
Okay. My top three that I would do. Number three, strawberry daiquiri.
Clever.
Thank you. Number two, as you kind of already mentioned, beef stew.
That's, like, exactly what I was picturing, though. Like, that perfect shade of brown.
Yeah, exactly. Hi. I haven't seen you in a while. Still have feelings for you. Do you want some beef stew?
Do you want this Denty Moore beef stew? Straight out of the can. That's why it tastes metallic.
What? Is there a string in there? That's so weird. And my number one is Jell-O.
Oh, like red Jell-O.
Like a red Jell-O. Or just a white Jell-O that has, like, a weird red streak through it.
Clear Jell-O. Yeah,
exactly. Okay.
That's just plain gelatin, gross.
Just plain unflavored gelatin with period blood in it. Okay. So, what is your favorite? What First Chef recommends? What do you recommend for a good PMS meal?
I just like the normal, boring stuff. But I just want to eat a lot of whatever I'm eating. So I'm always starving. So I want to eat pizza, French fries, tater tots. That's one meal.
That's one bite.
Then for lunch, I'm gonna have, like, a burrito and chips. And then for dinner, nachos.
Oh, yum.
And then I'm still hungry.
Yeah, come home, make yourself a little PB and eggs.
Mm-hmm. That's gross. I haven't eaten
anything. Just wanted to see if you were still listening. Mine is, I wrote here, vodka soda. Because I just want to drink usually when I'm PMSing because I'm so angry. And then I also wrote, perfect thing to make would be something that can't splash or spill because everything is so annoying already. go out for chicken liver pate and ice cream.
Okay, that's very bougie.
I know. It is. That's very elitist.
I guess you can eat Jello. It's not going to splash or spill.
That's true.
Jello all around.
I just know that, like, I have no patience when I am PMSing and eat, like, I'm making something and there's, like, a splatter or if, like, I drop it. It's like I will scream out loud at the top of my lungs. Like, fucking shit.
Yeah, your neighbors are bummed about that.
My neighbors already hate us because of the Whitney Houston sing-along that happened on Saturday, so I definitely can't cook anything and get angry.
They'll be fine. I just think you need to up your calcium and vitamin D from real food.
Yeah, for sure.
And try out the chasteberry.
Chasteberry.
Chaste.
Chasteberry. A berry that is not allowed to have sex with other berries.
No, it chooses not to. It's chaste.
It's abstaining from sex because it's a good Christian berry, mm-hmm. a good Irish Catholic
it
berry.
It has a promise ring.
That's very funny. This was a silly episode.
It's because we're covered in period blood.
Ugh. You know, you know, that's true. You know what the saddest thing for me is always seeing like a little bit of period left behind on the subway, on the seat.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I wish I wasn't so grossed out by that. You know, there's a great Annie DeFranco song about just accidentally like leaking during a meeting or something and not being embarrassed by it.
It really shouldn't
Everyone else is embarrassed, but it shouldn't be embarrassing at all.
No,
if
it
men
shouldn't.
Had their periods.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine. They'd probably spray it everywhere. Here, there,
literally,
over there.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do I do with this thing?
It was like big news when that woman ran a marathon and just free bled during it. Like it was like front page news.
Yeah.
And it's like, why?
Absolutely. She's running 26 fucking miles. You think she's going to like sacrifice her goals to like change her tampon?
Also, I'm not conditioned to have PMS. I'm conditioned to hide I still hide my tampon out of habit when I go to the bathroom.
You still hide your tampon? Oh, like hide it in the waste paper basket?
No, I hide it in my hand.
I don't
like wave it around.
Okay. I was like, well, you always hide it in your vagina.
No, out of habit, I put my tampon in like a pocket when I go to the bathroom.
It's like, you're supposed to hide it.
And they sell like tampon concealing accessories for women. Yeah, they're like little tampon.
They hide it too, I guess. But yeah, out of habit. You should just pretend smoke it like a cigar.
As I walk through the restaurant.
Ah, see? I've got to go to change this, motherfucker.
Yeah, it's dumb. It shouldn't be such an embarrassing thing.
It shouldn't. And I think that's the only reason I don't like seeing it on the subway is because I don't want to sit in someone else's blood.
No. Oh, but I actually had an embarrassing period moment that wasn't embarrassing.
What happened?
I was wearing white pants and no underpants.
Oh, good
and
Lord.
My period came early, but I was literally like, it was warm. It was like one of the first warm days. So I had like my shirt tied up.
Oh, okay.
And like my white pants on, and I was walking like all the way down Manhattan from, this is meaningless to a lot of people, but from BQE Liquor all the way to my job.
Yeah.
And so it was a long walk on a very busy street.
Yeah.
And I got to work, and my coworker was like, Nicole, you started your period. And I looked down, and it was just like all down the front of my pants, like white pants.
Wow.
And then I like just like unbuttoned my shirt, and I was like, at first I was like embarrassed because so many people had seen it, but then I was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. I still don't care.
Good. That's why you're sitting here free bleeding right now as we speak.
That's right. All over this place.
I've definitely had embarrassing period moments in my life. I can't really remember any of them at the moment. Oh, I think like my most embarrassing, I was having sex one time and I got my period. And at the time I remember being so humiliated about it.
That sucks.
I know. It really did suck. I was like mortified. It like really like threw me off. And like I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And then, you know, as I got older, I realized like it's fine. It's not a big deal. But we are conditioned to be so ashamed of periods and of talking about them. And I think that's why I wanted to do this food show.
Yeah.
About periods and eating period blood.
Yeah. And like having period stain on your sheets is like not allowed.
Right.
But it's like... Okay, so I just have to buy new sheets every 3 months?
Right, in addition to all the other things you have to do to upkeep being, like, a quote, you know.
Although, I will say, period-having folks out there, those white pants and my period sheets, I use Dr. Bronner's, and it gets blood out of everything.
Oh, yeah, it's really good. It's amazing.
Like, I had to continue working for about an hour, and then I went home, and the Dr. Bronner's got it all out, and there was quite a lot in there.
It was soaked through and through.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, this was a great episode. I loved it. Should we put our pants back on?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, we just smush our butts against this plexiglass and then be out?
The problem is now they're just covered in our blood.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
What's the point?
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us today. And you can go back to eating your manwich now. Nice. And hasta la bloody pasta.
Bye.
Bye. Life's Banquet is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org, or connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click at the heart at the top right of our homepage. And thanks for listening.